You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 16 April, we had Chinese GDP data out a couple of hours ago, year on year, 5%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kenyon Yana from Prime XPT. US markets, we're at all-time highs. Apparently, there is no worries around the war. Viv governed at Rand Swiss. AI models. I haven't chatted with Viv in a while, but man, these new models that we've seen out in the last few weeks and months are doing really, really well. We've got some wild valuations. Anthropic now hitting $800 billion. And Mag7 having a good year. And then we're chatting with John Lewis, independent economist. The GDP that we had hoped to get for 2026, he suggests, is under serious threat as the consumer is under pressure. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, Bloomberg, the US-Iran way truce extension while the Hormuz Straits are still shuttered. And Business Day, oil majors stranglehold on SA fuel industry faces legal challenges. Capricorn Petrochemicals is challenging a 25-year lease award at the Durban port. Morning markets. The US was green. S&P 0.8% higher. Nasdaq up 1.4%. The East is mostly green. Sydney, the exception, down 0.4%. Tokyo, almost 2.5% up. Hong Kong, a little over 1.3%. And Tencent up a little over 2.5%. Commodities, mostly red. Gold futures, 4,842. Brent, 94.85. Platinum is the only green, 2,150. Palladium, 1,596. Durand is 1,632. Bitcoin is exactly 75,000. And top 40 opening call, green open, 444 points, or 0.4% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kenyon Yana from Prime XBT. Kerry, appreciate the time. When I was prepping for this chat sort of late yesterday, my notes were saying that US markets were back at pre-war levels. I had to update this morning because US markets are at all-time highs, S&P and NASDAQ. They are basically saying, what war? No worry.
it's quite laughable, because I think over the past 6 weeks I've read more reports, first of all, on politics, sociology, and history more than anything else. And I think what has been very scary for me is my misunderstanding of the market, because everything should say that the market should be down, but currently it's not. And I think, first of all, it has to do with money supply, because money supply currently sitting well above $100 trillion. Mm. And I think it's looking for a home, because when I look at US treasuries for the past 2 weeks, the bond auctions have been undersubscribed. And looking at the fact that the US is going to have to raise about $10 trillion of new rollover debt, it seems like the market is saying the only safe haven and risk-free asset are US equities. Yeah. And for me, that is quite an indictment on portfolio management first, investment second, and as well what risk-free really is.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, it is head scratching. And to be clear, we're 7 weeks in. I mean, we moved on from the Ukraine war, but I don't know. It seemed to have taken a lot longer. This seems to have been alarmingly quick. We're in results season. I mean, we haven't had a lot of them yet, but those that have come through. I mean, Johnson & Johnson wasn't bad. ASML, although some wrinkles perhaps there. Goldman, numbers aren't bad that are coming out of US results.
Numbers are actually exceptional. I mean, the first were the banks. All the banks beat their earnings. Well, it comes back to, okay, how are estimates set up? But even with that being said, I mean, they are producing record profits. But let's go back to the ADRs. As you said, ASML, TSMC also is coming out with results and gave us a trading statement earlier on, which said that 35% year-on-year growth in revenue for TSMC. And what TSMC and ASML are saying is that the demand for chips is higher what the, than the what their production capacity is.
Yeah.
And when we look at pure foundry plays, they don't even need to design the chips. They essentially are just manufacturers. And when you look at ASML, as much as it did not beat on sales, the guidance on just profit margins is just at the higher end of that band at 53%. And that's why we saw a beat in their net profit by almost $300 million. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just looking at this AI play continue to show up and show up. And Samsung Electronics in Korea, which is not listed in the US, has had record profits, 8 times the best quarter that they've ever seen in record profits. So what does that tell you? It makes sense why the US market is still seen as a risk-free asset.
Yeah, that's Samsung. 8 times their best ever period before. It boggled the brain. I appreciate a lot of it was memory. Memory prices are at excessive levels. 8 times is a crazy one. Quick last point, Chinese GDP, 5%. I mean, T's and C's often with Chinese data, but the point is the world's second largest economy also continues to storm along.
It continues to storm along. As you said, Chinese data is a bit of a hit and miss. But I think what was quite concerned me last week was PPI data, which came out of China, which showed a growth of 0.5% for an economy which was coming out of deflationary territory, as well as factory grade prices were actually deflationary for the past 6 quarters, which tells you there's inflation coming back. And that's supply side inflation, which is quite a concern, which means that it's because it's a net exporter, we're going to be importing a lot of that inflation. So look for the inflation picture for the rest of the world to tick up a bit as the PPI as well goes up in China, which is quite rightly concerning for the world economy. But the GDP print, all great for the Chinese economy and our economy too.
Yeah, and our household price data still negative, -3.4. That thing's been negative since April 2022. We'll leave it there. That's Kenyon Nyona. You find him, Prime XPT. Appreciate the early morning. Our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Are those US markets just ignoring the war? All-time highs. I mean, it's a head-scratcher, but I suppose don't fight the market. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Viv Govender, Rand Swiss. Viv, always appreciate the time. You and I haven't chatted AI in far too long. I want to touch on models first. We've got the ChatGPT 5.4, Nano Banana 2 from Gemini, which is Alphabet. We've got the Anthropic Opus 4.6. I'm reminded of a conversation from maybe 2 years ago where we were wondering how good these models would get. I would wager that they've got really good. Yes, there's still flaws. They still make stuff up. But by and large, we are seeing massive improvements.
Yes, most certainly. And not to insult anybody out there, but if you are in the impression that the models kind of stalled, it's more the case of you've hit the capacity rather to determine how good the models are. And that seems to be the case. Because we've had cases in which people AI professionals, et cetera, have come out and, mathematicians rather, mm-hmm. have come out and started using, like Terence Tao, et cetera, started to use AI to actually aid them in discovering, new mathematics, new physics, et cetera. We've seen the emergence of Mythos, which apparently, has this different levels, like Opus seems to be the highest, the Mythos is above Opus apparently, which apparently is too powerful to even be released to the public because it can look at any piece of software and determine, new hacks, the new, what they call exploits to the software. And then it can even take one piece of software, find multiple exploits. Each of them may not be on its own powerful, but they combine them and make like a combo punch that can give you access to certain, sensitive data or allow you to do things that you're not supposed to do, et cetera. And that's just basically what the last couple of weeks. We're still waiting for Spud from OpenAI. We're still waiting for the new Gemini to come out, the new Grok to come out. And quite frankly, the progress has been as fast as has been predicted, if not slightly faster. People that think it's hit a wall or it's hit any kind of barrier, it's not true. In fact, it's getting to a point where we just don't have the tests anymore to determine how good these things are.
That's actually a great point, and I will attest. I mean, Opus 4.6 has just boggled my brain. And to be clear, I was quite happy with my AI before, but the new one is really great. The problem they're running into it, and to be clear, I'm using Anthropic. They currently get my $20 a month. I'm using Opus 4.6. Their problem is, frankly, capacity. They don't have enough compute power, and I can see it in my throttling. I can see it in the way how they've sort of, you know, even just 2 months ago, I was running wild with Claude, and now there's restrictions left, right, and center. This is proving the giant challenge.
Yes, look, I mean, again, your $20 a month is not where they are making the money.
No.
because what's happened is with the emergence, especially of things like, you know, the really deep thought that the recursive kind of thought this thing goes through, as well as agents. We are talking about, I mean, Jensen Huang came out and said, if you're not spending at least the same amount of money you're spending on an engineer. Mm-hmm. All these tokens, you pretty much are wasting the engineer. And we're talking about people spending thousands of dollars a day on these tokens. Some of the bigger companies out there, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And in fact, at current projections, I wouldn't be surprised if we approach $80 to $100 billion in recurring revenue for Anthropic by the end of this year. Okay, mm-hmm. It's about $30 billion at the moment. This is the fastest growth we've ever seen in a company of this size. And with Anthropic, the thing is that they don't have the money that OpenAI does. They don't have the money that Gemini does. They have some special sauce, whether or not it's their philosophy of safety first, their principal philosophy, which attracts more workers to come and work for them, which we've seen, for instance, with Elon Musk, Grok. His philosophy is not appreciated by his workers, and therefore you've seen basically every single founder of Grok leave. Mm-hmm. The same thing with OpenAI, people have laughed at. But Anthropic seems to be able to maintain workers, and therefore that's why they're doing so well with much, much less money than other guys out there. But, you know, the way the system is working at the moment is, there's actually an interesting podcast by a guy called Rakesh Patel, in which he was basically questioning Narendra Modi. This was a couple of months ago, and saying, isn't it obvious that you've underspent on compute? And Narendra Modi was saying, yes, but if I overspend, it's much, much worse. It's like, basically, I'll go bankrupt.
Yeah.
I'll likely underspend. But in this case, he's definitely underspent. And it just means that the chip companies out there, the memory companies, even though they've been hurt by some recent developments by Google, are probably still a pretty good bet at the moment.
I take your point in that. And I mean, overnight that Anthropic is doing a raise, and it looks like they're going to clock the $800 billion valuation, which, as you say, is insane fast growth. If I look at, NVIDIA, year to date, okay, there's been a war and everything and the like. NVIDIA's up some 5%. It's doing fine. Meta, although they're not really chips, but they've got AI, they're flat for the year. Alphabet, Amazon, both in the chip game, aside from other businesses, the Mag 7, apart from Microsoft and Tesla, actually doing quite fine over the course of the year, notwithstanding that we've had, 6 weeks of war in Iran.
And Tesla's up 5% today. I just looked at it like that. Microsoft, apparently what's hurting them is that they basically kind of chickened out on the AI spend. Mm-hmm. And that's why they pulled back, and that was a mistake. So they were aggressive at the start, but they chickened out. And that's why we saw a bit of a wobble in OpenAI's, you know, prospects. And we saw some of the big, like, for instance, companies like Tulsa, some of the cloud companies, for instance, under pressure. Mm-hmm. Because what happened there was we saw that, OpenAI may not have the money, and therefore people were thinking maybe these cloud companies are not going to get the money coming through. But it has seemed that that's not the case. Part of it is, like I said, the agentic stuff that's come out in the last 6 months or so. Part of it has been the fact that, you know, the models are continuing to get better and better, and the applications are getting better and better, and so people are still willing to spend the money. But I think Microsoft, was the issue with there was basically they were not as aggressive in AI, and that's what hurt them. It's kind of like the Apple situation.
Yeah, absolutely. They did. And in fact, they proudly said a year ago or so, sometime last year, that they were pulling back on compute, and that is absolutely hurting them. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, as always, appreciate the time. Give your money smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with John Lewis, independent economist. John, appreciate the early morning. 2025 GDP 1.1% locally. I mean, relatively a good number for us compared to what we have seen. The key point was that the driver here was the consumer really coming to the party. Low rates helping, low inflation helping, and at that point, low fuel prices as well. It really was a consumer-driven number last year.
Totally. Simon, just about solely a consumer-driven number, the consumer in real terms grew consumer spend by 3.6% year.
Wow.
It was the, if you ignore the abnormality of 2021's rebound from the lockdowns, it's the best number since about 2011 growth number. And then you look at the other categories and you wonder, okay, well, if we can't rely on the consumer this year, where's the growth going to come from? Government consumption expenditure in real terms, slightly negative, minus 0.2. Fixed capital formation, minus 2.2. Exports of goods and services, minus 2.5. So we were relying solely on the consumer last year pretty much for any growth that we had.
And that consumer is, I mean, let's assume rates stay unchanged, and who knows where that will play out. I mean, the consumer wallet has been decimated by the fuel price. I mean, that consumer's not coming to the party. Our hopes for improving GDP, and to be clear, we were only looking at maybe high 1%, seems to have been, gone, faded, disappeared.
Well, it seems like it's, Simon, the problem is we really can't predict this Gulf outcome very easily. It lingers and, as the weeks go by, it just seems like it's not going to be that simple. Or, we're not going to return to pre-Gulf levels of oil prices easily. Perhaps it's going to, it's going to take longer. Under a higher inflation situation in the world, a lack of interest rate cutting stimulus in the world too, what do you get? Probably lower global economic growth keeps the pressure on our exports, doesn't allow us to cut interest rates any further. Higher inflation eats more into household disposable income growth. What do you have left other than, I think, possibly a slower economic growth situation with a slower consumer growth situation?
And that, I mean, in sense, that probably takes us back to that sub 1% GDP that we've been stuck at for, I mean, it feels like forever and a day.
It feels like we go back there, yes. And, that's where we stumble around until such time as we've got more structural reform to our economy. Things are working better. We probably have to do it for ourselves now. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't. The IMF came out and revised their global growth forecast down. So it's slower than what it was for the estimated growth last year. In a slowing global situation, when you've got such an open economy as South Africa is, it feels right that we should start thinking about slower domestic economic growth too, especially since we depending solely on the consumer who's now under pressure.
Yep. A question, and to be clear, you said already, we have no idea how the Iranian conflict is going to play out. We just don't know. We absolutely don't know. But we're seeing, we saw some PPI inflation. My previous guest was talking around that coming out of China, risks to our inflation there. Of course, fuel prices. Even food, the fertilizer, stuff that's been planted today to eat in 6 months' time. We're going to see inflation higher. Does our MPC need to raise? Is there a world in which we might even get a rate increase this year?
I think there is a world. I think it's definitely a strong possibility. It's not what people want to say and it's not what we want to hear, but interest rates do go up when inflation rises a lot of the time, and we're talking about a significant inflation surge probably coming when we see the March, already when we see the March figures next week. We've seen a significant surge in US CPI inflation, Eurozone CPI inflation. We're not special. So I think it's a real possibility that we might get a rate hike or two this year.
We are not special. I suppose is the crux of the matter. John Lewis, independent economist, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Zimeli Mabandre yesterday. He, of course, F&B Wealth and Investment. Talking about PGM stocks, we saw local mining, PGM, surging in Feb. A part of it was just the price increases, which, of course, had kicked up, mid last year. But a production also significantly higher year on year. We asked you if there was value in the sector. It was fairly evenly split. Half of you saying, yep, looking good. The other half saying, yep, but selectively you want to pick your stocks. Have your vote. Have your say LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. ASP Isotopes.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.